Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're taking a look at Nightwing Volume 1 by Tom Taylor with art by Bruno Redondo, Rick Leonardi, Neil Edwards, Anthony Landing, and Scott Hanna and Adriano Lucas. Let's go. Sorry, I was just jamming to our music.
Just watching Alex, waiting for him to come back from break. And
sometimes you get lost in the music, Drew.
Yeah.
Especially your music.
Oh.
We have a good one, a chock full one today, ladies and gentlemen. We've been struggling to pick comics to read lately.
Yeah. It's multiple tries this week.
It's not for lack of trying. We tried several things on, some recommended by some reputable sources that we were just met on. We'll get onto that in the What You Been Reading You section. But we landed on Nightwing by Tom Taylor and crew. I'm going to go over the names one more time because I said them so fast. There's a massive creative team for this. So Nightwing is a DC character, if you did not know that. He used to be Robin, one of the Robins. This one was Dick Grayson. This is written by Tom Taylor with pencils by Bruno Redondo, Rick Leonardi, Neil Edwards. Inkers, Bruno also did some ink work. With Andy Lanning and Scott Hanna, coloring by Adriano Lucas, and letters by Wes Abbott. Oh, I'm already tired. That's been it for this week.
All right. We'll see you next week.
This is a really popular comic. I think it's still ongoing, but these issues came out not too long ago, maybe in the last couple of years.
Was it 21?
I think so.
I'm in one of the episodes, one of the issues, and I just scrolled back a page, and it was giving an ad for a comic series that was going to be starting in May of 2021. So it was probably relatively soon, relatively close.
You know, forgive me. I'm mostly over my sickness, except for when I start talking for long amounts of time, like on a podcast, and then all my phlegm starts reactivating, and I start coughing again. So between lozenges and sips of water to keep your speakers from exploding.
Yes. But yeah, we can dig in.
That's all, folks.
If that just happened to you, I'd have been like, that's easy for you to say.
Right.
Anyway, how about we just try to just jump straight into what you've been reading, yo?
And yeah.
I'll start.
Yeah. That you, way you're on it.
Your throat can maybe relax.
It'll be fully healed by the time you're done.
Fully healed.
Mm-hmm.
That's my other superpower. So yeah, normally
you actually read some stuff.
Yeah, normally I'm the bad boy that didn't do anything. But while we were recording last week's episode, I made the comment that I was considering getting back on the Powers of 10 House of X train. Which was a show, which was a series that we covered our first season. Was it 2019, 2018? I think it was 19.
And, the end of it, I think.
Yeah. And I was just like, that was just really good. And it was setting up a whole dawn of X, like a new jumping on point for the X-Men. And I never actually read it. I read House of X and Powers of 10. And then as soon as everything started, I bought the comics and never read them. Because I think I got onto something else. Maybe I was trying to read another series, and I was like, I don't want to go week by week. I'll wait. And so now I have multiple years of it. So I reread House of X, Powers of 10, forgot how good those were.
It's incredible.
Jonathan Hickman run. And I got spoiled by that. That was the first series that I ever bought week by week in the comic shop. And the fact that it was released weekly.
Yeah.
Like it was every week for like 2 months, 3 months. And I didn't, and coming out of that, I guess I just forgot. And I came to think that comics came out every week.
Right.
I mean, in fact, it's every month.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the reasons I didn't just jump straight into X-Men. I was like, I don't want to wait a month for this. Though
right.
I think if I had been able to keep up with it, there is something dropping every week.
Right.
Just like the other one. Because there's in Dawn of X, you have the X-Men title, you have the Marauders, you have Excalibur, you have New Mutants, and I think X-Force, maybe another one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I reread what we call Fox with a P-H-O-X. I reread that.
P-Hox.
It was awesome. It was a lot easier to make it through. So many things hit much better because I, you know, it was my second reading.
Right.
Things made more sense. And I went, I forgot how awesome Moira McTaggart was. So I read the first X-Men comic that came out, and I was just trying to read them as they came out. So then I jumped over to Marauders and then Excalibur. I'm in the middle of the first New Mutants comic before I realized, wait, I need to read what we're going to cover for this series, this episode. But so far, between the X-Men, like the plain X-Men title, Marauders, Excalibur, and then the beginning of New Mutant, I'm most excited about Marauders. And I think New Mutants.
I've read a lot of both of those. I did exactly what you're doing about a year ago, and I got probably 12 issues into each thing.
So the first year.
Yeah, about the first year. And there's highs and lows.
Can I ask, does Excalibur get any good?
No.
Okay, because that's the one I'm least excited about as I was reading, which it's like Sword and Sorcery. It seems like it could be awesome, but like I was just like not excited.
It's fine. It just wasn't as easy for me to follow. And when I was hopping back from like Marauders and New Mutants, which I loved, I was just kind of felt myself just rushing through it.
The art of New Mutant, like instantly just jumped in. I was like, oh, this is something different. I'm like four pages in and I already like it more than the Excalibur run.
I think you're really going to like New Mutants.
Cool. So yeah, that's on my current to be read, Liz, but it's also what I read. Oh, hold on. I actually wrote down what I've been reading, yo.
I used to do that.
Do you want to, do you have a small one you'd want to share so that I can say again?
I'll jump in. One of the things that was up for contention for us to actually cover was the newest comic about The Thing, which is a member of the Fantastic Four. There's another comic book podcast. I'm not going to tell you the name because I don't want you to listen to it over ours.
There's only one other comic book podcast. But
the guy, it's a really good one. And I follow him on Instagram and he was making some recommendations. And I think Walter Mosley, is that who wrote this? Yeah. If I remember right, I could be misspeaking. Excuse me. He highly recommended it. He said it was a great story. And I think on paper, the idea was okay. It just, the execution didn't quite work for me. The art was fine. Like, it was definitely a choice. I didn't, like, hate it. But I just kind of, it's a six-issue run of The Thing losing his girlfriend, going on a dating app, basically, that's actually being run by Death. And him dating Death, and he ends up, I don't know. It was just kind of weird.
Yeah.
It had a little bit of... it felt like they were trying to pay homage to older comics.
Yeah, I mean, it said something right at the very beginning. It was like from an older era or something like that.
Right.
And I was like, okay, but then they're like on smartphones and stuff. I'm like, oh.
Right.
So maybe it's only tonally.
Right. They're doing that. Like, I don't know. It was fine. It was not the worst comic I've ever read.
No. But it did make my never going to read again list.
Yeah. It was not something that I felt that we could just have a bunch of engaging content about on a podcast for an hour.
If The Thing is your favorite, then you'll probably enjoy it.
That's the thing. I like the character a lot.
Yeah.
So I was excited about it. There's not a lot of solo series for The Thing, I don't think. But it just was meh. So that was another one that just ended up on the What You've Been Reading Yo list. Yep.
So another one, while I was having some trouble getting Nightwing to work for me, and as I was waiting, I came across a title on the DC Universe Infinite Dunder Mifflin Infinity app. And it was one that I'd been meaning to read a long time ago, which was the 2021. I think it was 2021. Let me double check. Oh, I didn't write the year. But I think it was 2021 Wonder Girl with Yara Flor. I read the first seven issues of that.
Nice.
And it was good. I enjoy it. Might be something we can dig into a little bit more. There's not a whole lot of her story out there, I don't think. Like, I think there's
I think she's a relatively new character, right?
I mean, because she came out during the New Frontier thing.
Right.
Like, she is, but she might be worth digging into. I'm going to read the next, like, three or four books that are out, and I think that might catch me up to everything that's out for her. And maybe we'll check in on it. But I enjoyed it. I loved the
art is great in that one. Right.
The book one. Yeah. Because the Just like me, the writer was also the artist,
right,
for the book one.
Okay,
and I loved that.
Book then, one, like as in volume one, right?
Yeah, as in literally issue number one. Like by issue two or three, at one point I was reading, I was like, "Whoa, this art is way different. Mm-hmm. I don't care for it as much. Yeah. What's going on?" And then I got to the last page where it actually gave the credits, and I was like, "Oh, there were two artists on this one.
Yeah,
two pencilers, two inkers, whatever." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And by the end, like the very last one of the like issue seven was a completely different artist. But yeah, I love Joelle Jones, maybe? Is that their name? I feel like it's worth telling you the right information.
This insightful lookup is brought to you by Drew Morris Music. If you are looking for custom music compositions and arrangements, you can find all his information at drewmorrismusic.com. Speaking of, if you would feel so inclined to follow us on social media, you can find us everywhere at Two Man Comic Book Club with the number two. Twitter is at Two Man Comic Book. You can find me on social media at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because I am Batman.
Adopted father.
You can find basically
Nightwing.
Everything you need to find about Drew at his website, andrewmorrismusic.com.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And thank you for that. Yes, I was right. Joelle Jones is the writer and most of the time penciler and inker. Though I think maybe Jordi Belair does some of the coloring.
He does really good color work.
So anyway, I dug it.
Jordi Belair did colors for The Thing. And it was one of the strongest parts of the comic book. The colors were great.
And there was one specific page I turned to and I was like, man, that was a nice page. And it was mainly because the colors popped.
So. That's another thing. We should talk about that sometime. Colors are so important when it comes to artists being switched around on a comic book because they can still carry tonally consistency through the comic even if the style of the art has changed. The colors can kind of be a through line for that. So I've always liked Jordi Belair's work.
Well, did you have any reading, yo?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you about it. I jumped in. I was just like, I need to read more comics. I've been slacking. I want to read an event, something I've got to just click on and go down the list. And I saw the Secret Invasion list on Marvel Unlimited. And I jumped in. So Secret Invasion, I'll give you like a little teeny weensy 60-second catch-up on that.
I love catch-up.
It takes place after Civil War. And there's still like divisiveness between all the heroes. If you didn't know, that doesn't end with, you know, everybody making up.
And Civil War One,
correct?
Okay,
yeah. So Secret Invasion, that is a Brian Michael Bendis story, by the way.
Okay,
and it takes place with one sect of the Avengers that are not actually the Avengers anymore. The ones that did not sign with the Superhuman Registration Act. What is also known as the Sokovia Accords in the MCU, Superhuman Registration Act in the comics. They go to, I believe, Japan to rescue Echo, who some of you probably are aware of now from the Disney Plus show Hawkeye. And she has been taken over by Elektra Nachos and the Hand, who are doing a bunch of bad things. Elektra's kind of gone back and forth between good and bad. Anyway, this battle ensues. This is like minor spoilers for issue one, but it kind of sets the whole premise of what's going on. This battle ensues, and Elektra ends up getting killed in the battle. And when she dies, her body turns back into a Skrull.
Oh.
So Elektra has been a Skrull, and now suddenly all the Avengers are aware that they don't know how long Elektra has been a Skrull. They don't know where the real Elektra Nachos is. And they don't know who else among them is also a Skrull.
Which makes me, I mean, we know the whole thing with Nick Fury in the MCU.
Right.
I wonder if there's others that we're going to find out in the MCU Secret Invasion event.
Yeah, so it's so far it's really good. It's kind of spinning in and out of several Avengers and New Avengers books. I'm like, I don't know, 7 or 8 issues into the event, but it's really cool. These Skrulls' transformations are undetectable by magic. Wolverine is not able to tell the difference between people. Any mutant powers have been unsuccessful. So they're like, there's this big, who do I trust? And it's in the aftermath of Civil War where there's already a ton of distrust. So they're like, Spider-Woman's like on this side that didn't sign the Registration Act but went back to work with Tony Stark to try to get to the bottom of this. But she doesn't even know. A lot of people think Tony is a Skrull because they think he came out to like start the entire Civil War event just to split them. They think, well, a Skrull would have done that. And then it all ties back to an Illuminati event where the Illuminati went to this Kree Skrull Empire thing and like basically interfered with something they were doing. So it's a big interwoven story, but it's been a lot of fun, and that's what I've been diving into despite our Nightwing and the Thing.
Well, nice.
Yeah, that's a good reading, yo.
Yeah, we did it.
We actually read something in this comic book club reading podcast.
I've read more in 2023 than I read in the entirety of 2022, which actually might not be that far off.
That's like, amazing.
Really.
Yeah.
Because, by the way, we are recording this on January 3rd.
Yeah.
So
2 days in.
Yeah.
3 days in.
Actually, no. I started Powers in House before 2022. So before 2023. So it wouldn't be that far off to say that, you know, if I read five more Nightwings and four more Wonder Girls, I will probably tie what I read last year, which is sad.
Yeah. Do you want to get into this issue one?
Do you want to take a quick throat break?
It would probably be smart for me to do that. Okay. We'll be right back. And we're back, and before we get started, Drew's going to give us a quick 60-second catch-up on Nightwing.
So, Nightwing, a.k.a. Dick Grayson, the original Robin,
LG,
Batman and Robin, he began his acrobatic life as a member of the Flying Graysons, him and his family.
In the circus.
Yeah. As far as I know, the story that we saw in Batman, was it Batman Forever? Whenever we met him, is pretty accurate.
George Clooney, right?
Yeah. I don't remember if that was Clooney or not. Anyway, so he gets adopted by Bruce Wayne, who we all know is Alex Miller. Mm. And basically, you know, just takes him under his wing and eventually trains him to be his
super
counterpart.
Awesome sidekick.
Yeah. And they do stuff. And eventually Robin gets older. And I think he like leaves for a while and another Robin comes in. So he adopts the name of Nightwing, which is essentially Robin without the underoos.
Right.
And with less primary colors.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he has existed kind of on his own. He also had a run, which I think was before this, where he kind of like dispensed with the name of Nightwing and just tried to do everything by the book as a cop.
Yeah.
In a comic that was just called Grayson, I think, or maybe it was called Dick Grayson. And but yeah, he ran with the Teen Titans or the Titans, depending. I guess maybe it was Teen Titans as Robin.
Right.
But then as Titans as Nightwing. And at some point, there's a few things that happen leading up to the beginning of this book that kind of I should have looked up more, but I'm assuming we'll figure it out. At some point, he got shot in the head.
Yes.
And had amnesia or something, because there's a little line where he's like, yeah, I was someone completely different there for a little while. and also, big spoiler for what has recently happened, but apparently Alfred, the butler and kind of alternate adoptive father figure for Dick Grayson, died.
Yeah, we don't know about that.
I'm sure it happened, and if we were to go back and read, we'd know. But we just literally started. Oh, by the way, what was the issue number?
78 is the issue that this volume starts where Tom Taylor actually took over with the
Nightwing
creative theme.
78. I almost went back a few to read, but I might do that later.
Mm-hmm.
But I was running low on time. So anyway, yeah, that's a quick. If you didn't know anything about who Nightwing was, he's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, like, he's a cool character.
I've seen more of him in the at one time DC Universe TV show, currently HBO Max show, Titans.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I've seen more of him than anything else. And he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So I'm going to start with issue one and see if I can get through without coughing on the whole thing. So this starts off with a flashback of...
I will say, I was kind of hoping that the whole time was going to be like seeing him develop as a little kid, but
right.
Anyway, that's okay.
So this is Dick Grayson.
Correct.
I constantly confuse him with Tim Drake. I don't know why, but I do.
They both have the same like vowel.
Yeah.
Dick Grayson. Tim Drake.
Yeah, it feels, I don't know, they feel like the Big Brothers or something. Yeah. They kind of are. Anyway, so this back, this backstory just kind of like develops the character a little bit here. And essentially we see him stopping some rich, pompous bullies from beating up another kid, and a young Barbara Gordon is also there. Yeah. I don't think we actually know right away, but it's kind of revealed. He gets the upper hand, even though they're bigger than him and outnumbered. He's very, very capable. And the cops pull up before it gets out of hand. And the kid's like, oh, my family owns the cops. You're dead. And then Barbara Gordon's like, oh, you think your family owns the cops? And dad, you know, this is what really happened. So,
because it was her dad that walks up.
Yes, her dad.
Gordon. Well, is he Gordon. Commissioner at this point, or maybe just detective?
Oh, just Detective Gordon. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it actually, maybe it said, I'm not sure. But then they end up taking him home to,
Dick.
They take Dick home to the Batman Manor. Was it Wayne Manor?
That's a, why don't they just call it the Bat Manor?
The bat, yeah, they should, that's a missed opportunity. Batman. Terrible writers at DC.
Well,
terrible.
I guess you don't really want to make people think Bruce, the Wayne Manor, the Bat Manor. Like,
right.
They're trying to kind of keep it secret. But okay. if there's
people that don't know,
I'm sure stupid. There are certain storylines where it is known that Bruce Wayne is Batman, and I bet all kinds of people around Gotham call it the Bat Manor.
Oh yeah, and they're like, okay,
if not,
obviously the rich guy in town, it's him. Yeah.
If not, DC Comics, hire me. I am an established comic writer.
Yeah, I've seen his work.
Artist. So I will write the Bat Manor limited series for you.
Yeah. So when they take him home to the Bat Manor, Bruce Wayne is not there to actually take who he has actually think like custody of the kid. Mm-hmm. So Alfred Pennyworth, the butler, takes over and talks to Commissioner Gordon and comes in and Dick is washing dishes, and they have like a like, heartfelt moment of like,
you realize that's my job, and
right?
He's like, you realize I'm never going to be okay with that,
right? Yeah. So like he's not used to having handouts and living the rich life like he is, and Alfred basically says as much like, hey, I'm really glad that you can step up for the little guy even when you're not wearing a mask, because he's Robin at this point, everybody knows. But there's a nice touching moment and kind of a father son moment, and then we push forward into the present.
Yeah. And we just, all illusion that I had that maybe we'd get to see some young Dick Grayson becoming Nightwing. I'm like, oh, no, we just jumped forward to now, which is apparently 2021 Gotham City. And
it's actually Bloodhaven.
Sorry. Where is that? Is that like,
I'm not sure. This is like the city that he's kind of, it's his Gotham, I guess.
I feel like they're close.
Yeah, I think so.
Here, let's.
It's close enough for the other Bat figures to make appearances later on in this issue, but Bloodhaven is kind of where Dick Grayson, aka Nightwing, is taking up as his Gotham that he has an affinity for, wanting to make it a better place.
All right, Bloodhaven or Bluthhaven, is a city in New Jersey between Gotham City and Atlantic City. Ah. So yeah, close.
Yeah, so close enough for the super people to get around.
That is according to DC.fandom.com.
So Nightwing is out in Bloodhaven, and he's kind of just, you know, scouting for trouble, like trying to do a superhero thing.
Doing his rounds.
And there's these dudes in these Letterman jackets, and this is like awful right away. They're beating up a puppy.
Yeah.
Like as bad as it can get right away, which is, it's almost so terrible that you're like, I don't know. It almost took me out of the book, honestly, for a second. I'm like, oh, there's like, what's the, it's like they thought, what is the most awful thing they could be doing?
Yeah.
Short of attacking a baby. It's like, well, let's have him attack a puppy. So
kind of the Hawkeye, Hawkeye and Lucky vibes.
Yes, very much so. So he obviously saves the day, stops his puppy from getting hit. And when he's beat up the bad guys, he goes to kind of give the puppy a pet, and the puppy bites him because he's scared, but he understands. So he takes the puppy to the vet, and then he has to go get himself taken care of in between that. Flash to another side of the city, and we have this brute of a man who's obviously a villain here.
Whenever I was reading it the first time, I guess I didn't see the luscious locks coming off the back of this guy's head.
Yeah.
So it was quite a shock whenever I turn a few pages and see this guy has like hair down to his shoulder blades.
Yeah, it looks like the Kingpin.
It is the Kingpin, essentially.
With long, silvery white hair and big mutton chops.
Yeah.
He's obviously
I feel like
a crime boss in Bloodhaven.
I'd be curious. Just looking at him and purely guessing, it looks like he was invented in the 90s.
Yeah.
And hasn't changed since then.
Right.
While you're talking, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. So he's standing at this pier with a cop who's probably obviously crooked, and the mayor gets out of a car and walks up to him, and he's basically saying, like, hey, these operations are not going as planned. What's going on here? And then a woman walks up with him. She, I think she's like the operations, like the council president, like underneath the mayor. And Blockbuster is the name of this guy, and he's basically like intimidating the mayor. He's like saying, like, hey, we need to get these things going right here. And the mayor's like, did you bring me here just to threaten me? And he's like, no, I brought you here to make an example for you. And he takes his hand and palms this mayor's face and literally crushes his head with his bare hands in front, in front of the council president.
By the way, I'm sorry. I wasn't laughing at what Alex was saying because this is a sad thing. Yeah. I found a picture of Blockbuster from 1995. Apparently, he first showed up in the 60s, so I was wrong. But look at this picture of him from 1995.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he looks way better now. What in the heck?
It's essentially...
It looks just like he has a suit that's three sizes too big for him. Yeah,
he's wearing a 90s power suit.
Right.
Double-breasted power suit with shoulders huge. But his head... maybe we'll toss this in the Discord.
Yeah.
But his head is a triangle. And he looks more like... you know, I don't know. You just got to see this picture. Join our Discord, link down in the description, to see what apparently... Blockbuster looked like in November of 1995.
Yeah. So Blockbuster just killed the mayor in front of the president's, the council president who's underneath the mayor, and basically just said, like, I'm here to make an example of you. And he looks over at the council mayor and he says, as council president, you are next in line, Melinda. I am the city. You serve the city. And she's like, of course. And it's kind of dropped casually. And Blockbuster looks at her and shakes her hand, which is still covered in blood from him killing this guy. And he says, congratulations, Mayor Zuko. If you are a longtime Batman listener or a fan, you would know that the Zuko crime family.
Could you call them a bat fan?
I would say a bat fan is probably the best term I can use. Yeah. The Zuko crime family is like an iconic part of the rogues gallery of Batman. So immediately we're like, oh, okay. So.
Are they responsible for Dick Grayson's parents' death?
They are.
Okay.
They're the ones that put the, I don't know if it was like a hit, but like during the act, the Flying Graysons, they tampered with it, and that's how Dick Grayson lost his family. So he says, congratulations, Mayor Zuko. So this woman's last name is Zuko, and she's just been given the mayor of Bloodhaven to help cover up all of the wrongdoings of Blockbuster. Flashing back over, Dick Grayson is in his civilian clothes. He's got the dog fixed up. He's got his hands fixed up, and he's going home to his apartment, and he notices somebody's in the room upstairs. So he immediately goes to the alley, puts on the Nightwing costume, dives into his own window, and then somebody grabs his wrist and throws him into the wall, like immediately has him. And it's Barbara Gordon, who we saw the younger version of right away.
I will mention, it is stated that at some point, Dick Grayson had a lot of money. He was doing pretty good. And he bought the entire apartment building.
Yes.
So, but it also makes a comment that he was about to run out of money and he didn't know what he was going to do.
Yeah. So you can actually go, it says there's a, like an editor's note, see Batman number 101 for where the money went.
Yeah. Thanks, Jess.
So going in here, it's Barbara Gordon and got into his apartment and she gives him a hard time about like, she's like, you need a better security system. He's like, I have a good security system. He's like, you just got through it. So she, long story short, is there to essentially
act as a lawyer, attorney?
Yeah, basically, like Dick wasn't there for the will and testament reading of Alfred Pennyworth when he died. So Alfred left him something, and she brings him a laptop and a letter. And he opens the laptop, and he basically finds out that he was given a whole lot of money. Alfred was a billionaire.
Yeah, because he got stock options and stuff and made investments and whatnot.
And there's this very touching letter attached with all this money, basically just saying all the things that Alfred writes one of these every year, not knowing when he's going to die. And this just happened to be the one when it happened. and he's proud of him, and it's a very touching moment, and it ends with him saying, like, all above though we barely said it aloud, I am so very proud to call you my son. And then we get Nightwing kind of having a little tearful moment. And so now he's a billionaire again. He's got all this money, and he's having this nice moment sitting out there on the fire escape with Barbara overlooking the city. And we flash over to Upper Bloodhaven, where the newly elected Mayor Zuko is in her penthouse flat apartment. I don't know who this other woman is, like her bodyguard or something. That's what I get. Her secondhand person. Mm-hmm. They're talking. She's like, what happened? And she's like, are you ready for this? You know, this is a lot of things. And the bodyguard looks at Melinda Zuko, the new mayor, and says, what about Dick Grayson? She says, I'm not ready for her yet, but soon. And we look at this poster that she has up on her wall of the Flying Graysons when Dick was a child, and it's got his head circled on it.
Yeah.
And then that's the end of issue one. Bum, bum. So,
yep.
We're setting interesting up for some drama.
Dropping you in. So, I'll go ahead and try to take the lead on the next couple. And by the way, I think that was a longer book than normal, maybe.
Yes.
So there was more to it. But we typically
just gonna hit the high notes.
Yeah, the first issue, we dig in a little bit more because they're establishing the ground rules and whatnot. So we start issue two, which is actually issue like 80?
79.
With just kind of him talking through his life as, you know, he was like, okay, yep. In case you didn't know, I was a Flying Grayson. I was a Robin. I was with Batman. I was a cop. I was with the Titans. All this stuff.
I'm still close with all the other Robins. They're my brothers.
And basically, we wake up with Barbara Gordon, and they're in the hotel, or not hotel. What is it called? It's an apartment. And they're just talking about the dog and the fact that, yeah, this dog, you totally own this dog now. And they would get hungry. So they go to this pizza place, and he's like, I'll have two slices. And she's like, you're a billionaire now. And he's like, that's right. I'll have four slices. He's
spending big now.
He's got the cash. And as they're sitting there eating, a couple people come up and essentially just ask for help.
Cash.
Yeah, they're like, look, we're hurting. You know, can you give us money? And Barbara, I think, was like, I never carry cash. And he's like, yeah, nobody ever does. And then as they're walking off, Dick's like, wait. And he kind of remembers, I'm loaded.
Yeah.
Here, we're going to get you fed. Get everybody you want and take them down to the pizza place. And they kind of have this impromptu, like, block party for people who happen to be there and people who could use a little bit of help.
Yeah. And he even goes out of the way to say, I'm going to get you and your son in a hotel. It'll be paid for a month and we'll figure it out after
that. At the Bloodhaven Three Seasons. Ooh. What about the fourth season? Anyway, yeah. So they're like, that's too nice. You don't have to do that. But so he does that because he was like, yeah, that's how I want to use my money. That's how I want to help people. But after this conversation, he kind of has this realization that a couple people who had come up saying, hey, can we take these pizzas to go? Mm-hmm. He realized that they've stolen his wallet.
Yes.
And Barbara, in a funny comment, she's like, oh, what is it? I'm going to put this on the...
Too late. I've already put it in the group chat. Yeah. He's like, don't tell the other Batman. He said, never tell Batman about this.
Yeah. Too late. So they walk away, and then we kind of cut to a scene with the father and son who are on their way to the hotel, and somebody asks him to step over, and he's like, oh, go, son, run away. And this dude points this weird gun at him, and he says to him, like, you had a heart.
The guy basically, he's like, man, I'm homeless. I don't have anything. And he says, you have... I need, and he says, you have a heart.
Yeah.
And he shoots him with this gun that literally like extracts his heart from his chest and sucks it into the gun.
Yeah, it's kind of like the alien, inner mouth thing, proboscis. Mm-hmm. Then we
get this sick shot of Dick Grayson's 12 pack.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The 12er beneath the belt. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, we're back in. Obviously, Dick doesn't know anything about that. But I think Barbara is able to find a tracker, because he has a tracker in his wallet. So he goes, he mounts up, and apparently Barbara had some new tech to put a camera in
his mask.
Visor, mask, whatever you call it.
So she can see what he sees.
And he takes off, and he does he's jumping through town trying to find his way to where the tracker has taken him. And along the way, he comes across some crime boys.
The boss Maroni.
Yeah, Maroni, and having a conversation. And the kids that he's following are walking by and he's like, no, don't do it. Don't do it because there's something on the table. So they just kind of like lift it off the table. And he knows that they're about to jump in and kill these guys, these kids that were just doing some basic pickpocketing.
They note like these guys shoot first and never ask questions later. Yeah. Should be noted that Mayor Zuko is sitting with the crime boss at this cafe right here when the kids pickpocket him as well.
So before...
There's this awesome action sequence here.
Yeah, well, there's just a full page thing. Him jumping down, you kind of see him moving really fast, doing some parkour using his lasso, whatever you call it, grappling hook. And he goes in and he beats some people up and then zips out. And finally, he gets away from them. And, you know, before they're able to, like, take him out, and he manages to find where the tracker stopped, and it turns out it's a tent city filled with, like, homeless kids. And he's just like, oh, man. Yeah, this is how I can help.
And one of the kids is of note, when he walks up there, they feel like they're in trouble, and this young woman says, are you the man without a heart?
Yeah.
She says, are you him? And he's like, who? He said, the man without a heart.
Yeah. So, and then he kind of gets away. There's a touching moment with him and Barbara on a rooftop where he's just saying, I know what I'm going to do with my money. I want to be a safety net for the city.
Right.
And then the last page is that guy with the weird gun standing over the guy without the heart, who we will come to call Heartless, just so you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's how that issue ends. Oh, hold on. I always have trouble with DC Universe getting to the next...
I'll get you into it. We transition into the next issue. Dick's sleeping on his couch, kind of implied that Barbara stayed over, but they stayed in separate rooms. And the police are knocking on the door to wake them up. The dog
this is a good section.
Barking right here.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm sorry, I was asleep. And they said, late afternoon, did you have a late one? And basically, long story short, they're trying to find out, hey, we found this body. Mm-hmm. And, he was apparently had a hotel in his name that he was going to, and you were the last one to talk to him, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and they're like, so what happened? And he was like, did he never make it? And they're like, yeah, he never make it. He was found dead in an alley. And we're going to basically they're questioning him because they think he had something to do with it. And so he calls Barbara and he's like, hey, did you make it back to Gotham? And she's like, I haven't even made it at the end of your block. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, good, because I need you to come in because you're my alibi. Some people think I murdered somebody.
Yeah.
And they get back in, make some coffee and tea and whatnot, and they're talking. And before they can really get anywhere, like, they are able to say, like, for this is a whole lot of information. I don't know. Maybe it's the whole tough talk. But they're like, yeah, we're questioning you because we think you stole this guy's heart and all these other people's hearts. And they, like, lay down these pictures of all these dead bodies. I don't know. Maybe that's something that happens with cops. But, but before they can make it too far, Barbara comes in the door and essentially goes into lawyer mode.
Yeah.
And there's this really awesome scene where she's like, yeah, they're talking.
The cops were like, I think we'll decide what's relevant.
Yeah. And she's like, really? Because I have a law degree. And then Dick Grayson's like, oh yeah, so do I. And they kind of turn it around pretty quickly and essentially get him off and be like, look, I want to figure out what's going on too. If I can help in any way, goodbye detectives. Mm-hmm. And they kind of go about a plan to figure out what to do.
Can I just note that I really like this art style of a stagnant place and just multiple copies, like they're moving through the scene.
Yeah.
Like when they're discussing like how to find the man without a heart, it's just Barbara and Dick packing up stuff and leading. But it's cool to me in a better use than just panel by panel by panel by panel.
There's more, like, I know I mentioned Hawkeye a minute ago, but this has,
like, Hawkeye vibes.
Some of the layout is just like, I could see this, like, that one's a few pages back where the Maroni guy saw that he had been pickpocketed.
Yep.
And his just, like, dashed line following his eyes. Like, that could have exactly been in the Hawkeye run.
Right.
Anyway, by the way, who was that? Matt Fraction, Hawkeye run, is what we're talking about.
From 2012.
So... anyway, they get together and they're like, all right, I'm going to call somebody in to go figure this out because I heard about this at the Tent City. Mm-hmm. So they brought Tim Drake in, Robin, but not to be Robin. He was a younger guy, so they wanted him to basically infiltrate the Tent City as just a basic teenager. And there was I love this one spot where it was on a page turn, so I didn't see it. And she's like, come on, we'll take the train home. And I'm like wondering, I'm like, are they just going to like go through the turnstile and get on? But then you see, oh no, they're dropping on top.
Right.
Riding. I was like, okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so they get there and they go back to the house first. And they kind of talk.
They do what you said, though. They just tell him, like, hey, we need you to dress down and just be a kid and kind of go get the lay of the land. Also, you're going to take the dog because you're much more approachable with the dog.
And the dog needs a walk.
Yeah.
So they're going through and he gets in there and they're able to talk. He kind of works his way in, learns some information. But before they're able to act on anything or anybody leaves, these two big dudes come in,
Brutale
and Electrocutioner, that work for the Blockbuster. They show up and Nightwing drops in and tries to, basically they fight, but it seems that this whole thing was kind of a diversion because there's a fire breaks out,
mm-hmm.
and the two thugs, they're like, oh, this wasn't us. Dead kids can't pay, you know, because
right.
they're there to take their cut.
Right.
Because they know that all these kids are robbing things, and they're like, Maroney gets a cut of everything, doesn't mm-hmm. matter what. But while that's happening, the fire starts, and they're trying to zip people out of there. I think Nightwing starts doing that. Robin jumps in a quick change into his Robin outfit. And then you realize it is that Heartless guy, and they start fighting. Oh, and that's the end. Okay, I was about to jump into the very next bit.
Yeah, you can kind of just, I mean, it's kind of like one big issues three and four.
So they're fighting, and we learn that Heartless is enhanced,
mm-hmm.
but he kind of makes a comment, Heartless, oh, well, actually, I can't get there because we have a little in-cut scene to delay us for just a second, and so this is the beginning of the last issue I think we're going to cover today.
Yeah, issue four.
And, which is actually, I think, 81.
Correct. Right. Yeah, sorry, I keep saying that.
So it's just basically Melinda Zucco getting sworn in as the mayor. But after she's sworn in as the mayor, she gets let into a back room with all the people who really run Gotham. So Blockbuster, Maroney, people like that. But before they can really settle in, we jump back into the middle of the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And they start fighting. Nightwing... He kind of took him for granted at first. He was like, oh, I didn't expect much, but this guy's enhanced. But the good news is he has the strength, but he doesn't have the training. So he's able to fight him and get him to stop. But before too much happens, he's kind of like, it's revealed that it was just a ploy.
Right.
I don't know.
He set everything on fire at the camp to push them all towards the pier.
But what was the point? Like did he?
We don't know yet his MO yet. He's just kind of like this mysterious figure. Like, why are you doing this?
I mean, unless he knew that Nightwing was going to be there and he had a chance to maybe strike him right in the heart.
Yeah.
The emotional heart. Maybe that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, he drives everybody back onto a pier and then blows it up. And then a fire is like encroaching. And Nightwing's like, oh no, what are we going to do? And he was like, well, we're going to appeal to the people. And he kind of taps into a system. Communication system, because it's right on the river, and he's like, mayday, mayday, there are 300 kids in need of rescue at the end of Bluthaven Pier 12, and we're waiting and waiting, and just when you think it's not going to happen, you get like five or six different boats coming in saying, we're here.
There's this nice through line of like, he wants to help Bluthaven, but he wants the people to like also show that they're worth being helped, like that there's something worth fighting for here, and he's going to say that, come on, Bluthaven, show them you're worth fighting for, please.
Yeah.
And Oracle, or Barbara Gordon, who was when she was put in the wheelchair, that's a whole other story. She used to be Oracle.
She does make a comment.
She can walk now.
And yeah, she has some like magic tech, not magic, like high tech stuff that's allowing her to walk.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, the people do come through, and it's really a nice moment of like over the comms, these ships are like the Fenrir, we're coming in.
It's kind of like that. At the end of Spider-Man 2 or 3 with Tobey Maguire?
Yes.
Where all the people are like, hey, when you fight a New Yorker, you fight all of us. But anyway, as all this is happening, the multiple head injuries and everything that's been going on with Dick Grayson kind of catch up to him, and he passes out in the middle of a fire.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, no, what's happening? But you turn the page, and he's in his bed at home. They're kind of taking care of him, but essentially saying, yeah, we got you home. The kids are fine. But you need to take it easy.
Yes.
Because you have had all these head injuries. You need to rest up and recuperate. But before they can, it is revealed who the new mayor is, Mayor Zuko. And he was like, oh man, that's, I can't just let this stand.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there laying, trying to, and the last thing is like, and you need to rest. But he's not resting. He's laying up, staring at the ceiling, and finally decides, no, there's no way I'm sleeping. I need, the criminal daughter of the man who killed my parents is the mayor of the city. There's no way I'm sleeping. So we see him zipping through, and he breaks in, and
he breaks into the mayor's flat. The one we were in issue one.
But Barbara, he never turned off the camera, so Barbara's alerted, and she's like, I can see everything. And he was like, oh, I need to remember to turn that off. That's probably the head injury. I need to fix this. But luckily, she was there because she sees through the camera, like, on your left.
Yeah.
A different on your left. Mm-hmm. And so he reacts because that bodyguard that we talked about is swinging like a samurai sword, and he fights her. But he is not in good shape. No. So he gets caught off guard. And
he's commenting. He's knocked out. She's not enhanced. She's just good.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. And my head's swimming. I really should have listened to my friends. And then we see a little bit later,
he actually gets knocked out with a bat by Mayor Zuko.
Yeah. And I'll just read this because this is makes sense. Unconscious twice in the same day. That can't be very good for me. Tied up and hang on. Ah, I'm not wearing my mask. And he looks up and Zuko is standing there with the mask saying, Dick Grayson. And he's like, you know me? I know you too. And he breaks free and he's about to fight. And he says, you worked for the Maroni crime family. You're the daughter of Tony Zuko. And she kind of like zips back. Apparently she has some training too. Yeah. She's like, no, I'm not. I thought I was for a long time, but I learned the truth. My real father was named John Grayson. I'm your sister. Bum, bum, bum. End of issue.
Yeah.
I wanted to keep reading, but I had run out of time and it was bedtime for me.
I thought, the whole time, I was like, she looks like a Grayson. I wonder if that's where they're going to go.
I never even thought that.
Yeah, I don't know. They use like similar
whenever
color
you,
for her hair.
The last panel of this thing, they're just staring
each other
down. And it's
like,
obvious.
Oh, they're related.
They don't have the same nose, but they have the same eyebrows, the same eyes, like everything. Yeah.
What do you think so far?
Yeah, it's good. Like as soon as I finished, I was like, oh yeah, this is a good run. I need to keep reading it. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a sign of a good story. It's something that, like we were only going to read the first three, but I was like, no, we need to read the fourth one because it has a better cliffhanger.
For sure. Any other thoughts before?
No. It's ongoing as far as I know.
I think
there's another maybe six or seven. Actually, let me tell you.
There's several more. I also just want to say like the art is so good in this comic.
So good. Yeah. Okay. So Tom Taylor is currently still writing. There's another maybe 12 or so, maybe 15 that are currently out. So you could get DC Universe. You could probably even find some of these in the store. It's worth picking up. It looks like very soon we're going to be having some dealing with John Kent and then The Flash. So,
sick.
And Batgirl. A bunch of good stuff.
Yeah, I think John Kent is that Superman run is also being written by Tom Taylor. So it makes sense that they'd cross over some stuff.
Cool.
Cool. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come back with the next segment of Alex and Drew Rank the MCU where we talk about Civil War.
Are we going to do some Nightwing trivia?
We will also do some Nightwing trivia. We'll be right back.
And we're back with our lightning round trivia where the questions are faster than Dick Grayson went back out even after having a traumatic brain injury.
Yes, he should have stayed in bed.
He really, well, I mean, I guess.
Like Barbara told him.
If he hadn't, he wouldn't know that
also,
it's his sister.
I should say also that I think I have the hots for this version of Barbara Gordon. Yeah, she looks great. Anyway, trivia time.
She does have certain Katie vibes.
She does. That's what it is. It's the red hair. Yeah.
By the way, I need to make my weekly disclaimer. That's the chair. Any sound that you've heard of that is not me farting. If I farted on camera or on the mic, you'd know it.
Oh, they do know it because every time they hear
it's
that
not
noise,
me. It's not a fort. Me. Okay. Anyway, so do you want to go first or do you want me to?
Sure, I'll go first.
By the way, I don't know how many. Ooh, I hope I didn't hurt something on my plug-in. I don't know how far we're going to go into this. I think. Do you want to try to go at least a few more? Another episode.
I think another episode of this.
So would be good. Yeah. So this is the beginning of a series.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Alfred is dead.
What?
How did he die?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I'll make it easier because it's okay. pulling impossible. Just tell me the villain who killed him.
Okay.
It is a villain that you know.
My guess is Joker. Just Joker. That's all I know.
That is incorrect.
Okay. Can I, not for the points,
yeah, just but for just funsies.
For mm-hmm. my pride.
Yeah.
Is it a well-known
yes.
bat villain? Is it like one of the tops or just like pretty good?
I'd say he's one of the tops.
Okay. Penguin?
No.
Riddler?
No.
Scarecrow?
No.
Bane?
Yes.
I almost said Bane mm-hmm. second.
Yeah. But. So right here I'm reading, Alfred himself was a hostage to ensure Batman wouldn't return to the city. However, Batman did make an attempt, ending a phone call, at retaking Gotham. He had Robin try to rescue Alfred himself. Unfortunately, Robin was unable to get to Alfred in time and Bane snapped Alfred's neck.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty tough stuff. So that's what happened, I believe, most recently.
Wow.
I don't think that's the only time Alfred's died.
Okay.
Excuse me.
All right. So my question mm-hmm. is just a basic one. Kind of like I mentioned. because most of my Nightwing knowledge comes from Titans, mm-hmm. the TV show. So I'm just going to ask, do you know the name of the actor that plays Nightwing / Dick Grayson in Titans?
I have no idea, but I'm going to guess and it's going to be right. His name is... Michael Smart.
correct.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I thought so.
What was it? Michael Scarn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Scarn.
No, his name is Brenton Thwaites.
Thwaites?
Yes.
Wow.
Also famous, also known for a role in Pirates of the Caribbean, The Giver, Gods of Egypt, and
Pirates?
I Met a Girl. It's Henry Turner. I don't know. Probably like a young
Bill Turner or something.
Yep. Anyway, yeah, sorry. Not the best question ever, but hey, we're tied.
We're tied at nothing apiece.
Because that we're both nothings.
Cool. Let's jump over to our Alex and Drew Rank the MCU, where Drew and I are going through and ranking the entirety of the MCU on this very convoluted and ridiculous Excel sheet that we put together with these crazy formulas, and we just made it to phase 3 to start off with Captain America Civil War.
All right.
I was super excited to get to this one. This is also a little different in that usually when we watch these together, we do it like remotely. We either text or FaceTime. We call afterwards and discuss our scores.
Yeah.
This time we did not do that.
Yeah. I was a sleepy boy.
And Drew was a sleepy boy. Yeah. And so now we don't know each other's scores.
We actually watched it. We watched it on New Year's Eve and finished a little bit before midnight, but I was too sleepy and I went to sleep.
I didn't know it was New Year's Eve.
I think it was.
It might have been.
Maybe it wasn't. Who knows? Give me your gut.
I gave it a 9.4.
What's your highest gut up to this point?
That is my highest gut up to this point.
Hey, I gave it a 9.6.
Wow.
Which is also my highest gut by 1 point. By 0.1, I mean.
Yeah.
Up to this point.
It's very strong. I should say that's the highest one, not counting ones that are not in order.
Chronologically
where we're at, yes.
It was just strong.
Film is really good in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
There's a few, like there's several 10s I handed out.
Really?
Uh-huh. Several. It does have some things that are not as strong as others, but overall, like pound for pound, like it's strong.
I will say... I did my best to judge it like legit against mm-hmm. a true scale in my head. And I was angry at the end for how low it was on the rubric. Cause it's essentially got a 96% for my gut rating.
Right.
And my final one was not that.
Not even close.
And I was just like, and I went back and I recalibrated and stuff. And I think what I might have to do mm-hmm. is go through and reassess my Guardians of the Galaxy scores.
Yeah.
Because it's like would it spoil too much for me to just drop that right now to tell you what I gave Guardians versus what this got?
Yeah.
So Guardians ended up with a 92.6. Mm-hmm. And this one only ended up with an 87.1.
Wow.
Civil War. And I was just like, man, honestly, I don't know that I would. Like, if you were to say, hey, do you want to watch Guardians or do you want to watch Civil War? I think most of the time I would pick Guardians just for a good time. But man, there's just so...
I think I'm the opposite. I think I'd pick Civil War.
I mean, it's close. Like, I think it's a 50-50 maybe.
Yeah.
Like, because there was a lot of awesome stuff in here. But I gave Guardians some 10s.
Right.
And I don't think I gave a single 10 to Civil War, but like nothing got lower than an 8, I don't think.
Yeah, so, I had several things that get a 10, but I had also a couple that were lower than a 7 even.
Really?
Yeah.
I just felt like it was strong across the board, and it made me think, because one thing, like we've talked about before, music is weighted high in our thing because there's only two things.
Yep.
And Guardians got a 10 in music.
I think, and for this one, too.
Music got an, I think I only gave music an 8.
I was lower than you
because
in music.
It was good, which if you look
at the... I gave it a 7.8 on music.
Okay. Even with this 8, it's tied for second in music for me, like overall.
Oh, wow.
Because I thought there wasn't anything especially memorable about the music, but there were moments where I did have to stop and say, wow, that music was nice.
Like, yeah.
There were some nice thematic moments.
There's not
moments.
Memorable melodies, really, but yeah.
I mean, it was just really effective, but I was just trying to think, where is it? And maybe that's the thing. Maybe even though I didn't have like goosebump moments from the music or moments where the music like hit, but it was like effective and I did notice it. But still, I don't know. I only gave it the 8. And maybe if I just bumped that up to a 9.
How did the sound design sound for you?
It was good. I mean, I wasn't listening through super nice speakers, but I was trying to kind of like step back and think about the different soundscapes that we were being put through. It didn't get the 9 that I gave Ant-Man.
Right.
I gave it an 8.25 because I thought it was good. Mm-hmm. It was just like there were no moments. There were only a few moments where I was just like, wow, that was a nice sound.
I give it an 8.8. I am listening on really good speakers when I watch these at home anyway. Mm-hmm. And like I get the benefit of like even they're on Disney Plus, they're mixed for Dolby Atmos. So like spatially there's things moving around me and it's some movies take better advantage of that than don't, even if they are mastered for Dolby Atmos. You know, they still have to like go and like sonically put those in the space. And so it was strong.
Sometimes I go through and I set up my surround sound speakers because I don't have ones that are always in place.
Right.
And sometimes my surround sound system just doesn't work.
Ah.
So I think in this case, I may have only been watching it through the TV, which was still good.
Still good, yeah.
So maybe my sound FX design should be with an asterisk for every single one because I'm listening in different settings.
Right.
Different settings.
I mean, it's kind of hard to be consistent, I guess, because you're even watching it over here sometimes versus at your home.
Well, I guess I'm kind of jumped in, got ahead of myself. So
no, you're fine.
Do you want to tell us what your overall ranking was and then we can go back and reverse engineer it since I already did
overall mine. Ranking, my final score for Civil War was 91.86. Which does put it in first place.
See, I'm looking at it thinking, my brain, my gut, my instant, like after I finished, I felt like it should have been first.
Yeah.
And I made a note of that next to mine.
Go ahead.
I put it there. I feel like the 87 robbed it. Mm-hmm. And it needed to be ahead of Guardians of the Galaxy in my mind for like the importance and everything.
Yeah.
I just, my rankings, I couldn't get it there. I don't know why.
It is basically in every way but title an Avengers film.
Oh, yeah, it's Avengers.
Yeah.
So. It felt like more of an Avengers film than Age of Ultron to me in some ways.
Yeah, but what's cool is that this is another Russo Brothers film. So this is their second MCU film. And honestly, when I stopped and thought about it, it's like the only other film and at the time, the first film where they kind of lose at the end, right? Like this is not resolved and fixed. Mm-hmm. Like everything is not okay. The Avengers are broken and split at the end of this film.
Yeah.
And the Russo brothers, spoiler alert, do that again in Infinity War just with much bigger stakes.
Yeah.
I handed out, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tens on the score here, and I'll talk about them. So the first 10 I handed out was character development. And right next to it and closely related are the other two tins in the story category are world building and continuity. The Russo brothers' introduction of Black Panther and Tom Holland as Spider-Man in this film are chef's kiss, masterful storytelling and introduction of characters without feeling like they're shoehorned. They get plenty of time. Not just plenty of time, like they're like, oh yeah, that was a nice thing. They're like very good, strong developmental moments that span off into what are now two of the biggest franchises in the MCU.
Yeah.
So those were 10s for me. My other 10s were for the drama. I mean, you have that final scene of like two best friends, leaders of the Avengers, fighting each other. And you kind of agree with both of them, right? Like Cap is trying to save his best friend.
Yeah.
And Tony Stark just found out who killed his parents.
Yeah.
You know, like what more drama is there? Yeah. No, when you're thinking about that.
I almost gave drama a 10, but I was trying to leave myself room for Infinity War and Endgame.
Oh, I think they can still have 10s there. Mm-hmm. I think they'll differentiate themselves in other categories.
But yeah, I mean, I like I said, for some reason, I didn't give any 10s, but there are more 9s than anything else on my list.
So. I also gave a 10 for action for the same reason I gave a 10 for Winter Soldier. The choreographs of the fights are incredible. Mm-hmm. I love the fight scene when Winter Soldier breaks out for the first time after Baron Zemo. That's another character that's introduced, Baron Zemo, just like masterfully well done, very, very strong villain in the MCU that's still around. Also, he's still around. They didn't kill him at the end because you don't have to kill them. Like, there's more story to be had here. And then I gave a 10 for the fan service post-credit scenes and the comic references because there are so many shots in this that are straight up. Somebody looked at a comic book panel and they reframed the shot. The shot where Tony is shooting his reactor beams off of Cap's shield. The shot where Ant-Man is being shot off of Hawkeye's arrow. There's several more just like comic book reference. Yeah.
Also, I loved I was thinking about it because I sat there looking at the movie poster that shows on Disney Plus before we played.
Yeah.
And the fact that we didn't have Spider-Man on there. We didn't have Black Panther. We didn't have Ant-Man. So like, I remembered that all of those were in here.
Right.
But like, just even the just subtle drop of, oh, and we also got this guy. Like Ant-Man is just like asleep in the van and he comes out. And I just thought that that was on par for what I expect from him.
And then like back to the character development thing, like not just introduction of characters, but like the entire arc with Wanda and Vision, like Wanda showing her dark side a little bit the first time, but also the love interest there. The sacrifices made of like Vision making a decision that ends up hurting Rhodey like very badly. Tony maybe thinking, putting it all aside and thinking, you know, Cap might be onto something. I was wrong. Like there's just a huge breadth of character development through this whole thing. A low score for me though. I give a 6.5 to set design. Like the biggest set in this is an airport hangar. They just went outside and then put a bunch of CG explosions on. Like nothing creative about that, in my opinion.
There was some creative usage of the inside of the terminal with Spider-Man zipping around. And I also, whenever I was rating the set design, I was thinking of just that one scene because it's something that just lives in my brain. The Cap and Iron Man fight at the very end. And that weird little, like, I think it's like the room where
the Hydra base where the other Winter Soldiers are sleeping.
But yeah, like where I think the flames from the missile that they probably launch out of, it's supposed to get exhaust. I don't know, just it was a very powerful, it was like snowy, it was like cold. Like there were a few spots where I was just like, that was a neat set.
Yeah.
And just, but yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, let's create an entirely new spaceship for every different world. But
yeah, it wasn't Guardians where there's like a bunch of just stuff we haven't seen and it's almost a character. Also, the color it was okay. Just the Avengers color grade. It wasn't Guardians good. Mm-hmm. And there are more to come forward after that are great. And then also I handed out a lot of 9s. Mm-hmm. Emotional response, I gave a 9.1. Again, just for the same kind of reason with the plot. Like, the plot kind of keeps you guessing. Like, you know, even when you've seen it before, you're like, oh, you know, this is intricate. You know, it's not just bad guy trying to kill everybody. There's motives behind it. I truly asked myself several times, whose side am I on here?
Yeah.
They're all making good points, you know, like... Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of, it's just strong all the way through. It's great. What about you? Any other strong spots?
I mean, it was just strong throughout.
Yeah.
Like I said, it ended up lower than I feel like it should have been. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if my rankings on this are etched in stone just yet.
Sure.
Because I don't know. I honestly feel like it needs to be number one of what we've been through so far. And the fact that my ratings didn't put it there.
Makes your me gut did. Wonder.
My gut did.
Which
yeah.
Matters.
But whenever I went through and put everything bit by bit, it didn't quite go as much. So I don't know.
Right. Yeah, it's currently sitting first by several points. I mean, Guardians is second, and it's almost a 4-point difference for me. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's in a good spot. Man, but there's some doozies coming up. Like yeah. every film,
yeah.
the next several, the whole phase is strong. So mm-hmm. we'll see if it remains on top by the end. I have a feeling it won't.
Yeah.
Cool. Any other thoughts before we wrap this up?
No.
No more thoughts. Cool. If you love us and you want to help spread the awesomeness that is this podcast, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you can leave the podcast. If you leave a 5-star review, we will read it on the podcast and give you a shout out. Those go a long way. They're really just helping us grow our content. You can also follow us on our social medias and really just share the podcast. Send somebody a direct link to an episode that you liked so they can get into it. And that would be greatly appreciated. I am going to let Drew sign us off because I'm about to cough a whole bunch.
Yeah. Well, thanks for checking us out. We'll be back next week with Nightwing.
It's the next obvious
82
few issues.
Yeah. Something through the next point where it seems like a good stopping point.
Yep.
So jump on to DC Universe, Infinite Ultra, Dunder Mifflin Infinity, Scranton, Pennsylvania. And we will be back next week.
See you next time.
That's the wrong button.
Enjoy your new year. See you guys later.
That was Alex. Alex totally farted.
No, he didn't.
Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.
I just remembered something we should have talked about today. Do you remember what any of your comic book resolutions were for last year?
No.
We should have checked it up. So maybe. I probably failed all of them.
Yeah, I don't know if I got mine. We'll have to go find. I don't even know what issue to go, yeah. episode to go find.
We'll be back with those next week.